FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators,
Hopewadi with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris, and
Chris Gale,
as they fire up.
Well, Chris, I am certainly fired up, and it is not because of this glittering new season. I mean, talking about dashed on the rocks of hope and yearning and winning. But we'll get to that later.
Good night last night.
Yeah. Now we got you. Put your headphones back on. Technology is a bonus sometimes.
Did you have a good night last night, Stephen?
Can I get to that later, please, Chris, while I just calm down for a while?
Sure.
I want to be fired up, but not too fired up.
Understand.
It's not good for their health. Breaking news.
Well, the rugby league world is...
Can we say rocked?
In mourning. Because the news has come down the wire that... Paul Gallen has announced his retirement from rugby league.
Retirement?
Yes, indeed.
As of now?
Well, unfortunately not as of now.
Oh, 3 years
from
now.
As at the end of the 2019 season. Now, this news was actually... Gal approached us and he said, you guys are pretty much tantamount to the official audio organ of rugby league.
Yes.
Can I announce my retirement on your show? I've got a press release ready to go at 9 a.m.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he said, Gal, we start at 9:20.
Yes.
So he went to the... secondary organ of rugby league. And I refer, of course, to Kyle and Jackie O, Kiss FM.
Right, okay. So the breaking news, we were given the opportunity. We had to put it down. But we do have another breaking news, don't we?
Enlighten me.
Anthony Mundine.
Oh, yes, Chock's retired.
Quietly, against colour, against general flow, he's decided to quietly retire.
Didn't he retire after Jeff Horn knocked him out? Or is that my imagination? Did I just project in relation to that?
Did he actually say those words? I don't know.
Yeah. But what has he retired from?
Sport.
Oh, right. Sport.
Sport in general, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
He's now a community officer, basically.
And as a St. George fan from the 99 Grand Final, is that
unfair, Chris?
No. Does that represent closure to you, Steve?
Are you going to hang the whole thing on him again?
It's not me that chooses to do this. It's generally embittered St. George Illawarra fans. But
it generally is. I would say Hollywood Bill Harrigan. He'd be my main
go-to. What about the forward pass, Bill?
What about that?
The penalty try, you think that was a beat-up?
And really, that was a nice tackle. Right on the field. Surely, come on.
Poor old Jamie Ainsco.
As HU says, they're a prettier sight in rugby league.
I'm guessing that the Melbourne winger's name is Craig White. Would that be correct?
Oh, don't start with the brick with eyes and his cartwheel.
Why is it that the victims never remembered? It's always the perpetrator, i.e. Jamie Ainsco.
Yes, I know. Exactly, yeah. Poor old victim. What is he now? Wobbling around the... I don't know who he is.
I tell you what he is. He's got a premiership ring, Steve.
Can I just talk about getting head-high tackles and stuff? Well, you've got to applaud a man like Peter Fitzsimons who can really push an issue forward. Really can hang on to... I mean, I'm not tired of that. Are you tired of that, Chris?
Not at all. I mean...
What's he say?
It's always said that the great writers stick within what they know. Jane Austen.
Yes.
The sort of middle to upper class society in England.
Shakespeare was betrayal and love and death and
power. Bruce Springsteen, Life on the Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah, David Bowie, everything.
Right. So with Simons, it's stadiums and head knocks.
Stadiums and head knocks.
That would be responsible for approximately 75% of his printed output each year.
And can I dare say the subtext is bashing rugby league. Even though he goes, I love what you do, Graham, James Graham.
Oh, yeah,
but
champion.
You're an idiot.
He called him
you're
champion.
An idiot.
Yeah. That really, really got my blood boiling because if Graham has gone over and above to work out that he's okay, and Fitzsimons failed to acknowledge that. And as James Graham so pointedly put it during the week, he said, look, if I didn't have rugby league, what would I do? Turn to a life of crime? And the answer is probably yes.
Yes. Would you want him fronting you with a knife or a gun in a dark corner? I wouldn't.
Not only would I hand over my wallet and my keys and my iPhone, I give him the passcodes to every ATM that I'm a member of.
And I ask, how much would he get if he stole your wallet?
Well, I've got actually a very nice wallet here, which is actually a special Alice Cooper Billion Dollar Babies Edition wallet.
Can I tell you...
The wallet is worth more than any money you'll ever find in it these days.
But not as much as he's earning on average every year in rugby league, correct?
Correct.
Do you know what? I have a Velcro Thriller Michael Jackson wallet.
Is that right?
Yes. In storage.
You probably couldn't get rid of that, right?
It's going to be worth a lot of money one day, Chris. I can tell you that right now.
I don't know about that, Stephen.
Now, breaking news is done. Gal, I'm assuming we're going to have some testimonial dinners.
I think there'll be nothing. I think what defines Gal is that he's universally disliked, right? And that's
quite more so than Cameron Smith, the accountant.
Yeah, it's almost Fitzsimons-like, the dislike that's out there for him. And this is to the credit of the man. There'll be no testimonials. There'll be no after-match presentations of rocking chairs
no glory
and motorbikes.
Dance, no.
Nothing.
Nothing.
He will just simply pack his kit, and I think the last regular season game may well be at Leichhardt Oval from memory.
Mm. Jeez, he'd be looked after there, won't he?
And if that was the case, there'll be no semi-finals for the Sharks, so that'll be it. And
right.
And he will just fade off into the distance and simply go, job kind of well done.
Okay, look, I'm sure there's plenty of openings afterwards, and I'm just about to get to that. Chris, the big stories in rugby league, one of those this week is, can I just say it out front, carrot or stick, relocation. It's on the table again.
So, out of tonight's conversation, more money into junior participation, more money into Women's Rugby League. We're going to move two teams out of Sydney. We're going to be in Brisbane and Perth in 5 years' time.
Oh, I wouldn't summarise the last part like that. Don't get my head shot off. But I would say that we have to have an open conversation about it, and we have to think strategically, not about the next 5 years or the 10 years. We've got to think strategically about the next generation.
An open conversation, open and honest, strategically speaking.
Yeah, so I think when you have an open conversation, that's code for we've made up our mind.
Yes, but we're not telling you just yet.
And when he talks about, let's not talk about the next 5 or 10 years, that's because there'll be teams in Brisbane and Perth next year.
Chris, for those that don't like rugby league,
for the vast majority of the Australian population, Stephen,
why does this
from what I've been told.
Why does this matter? Well, I'll tell you. Rugby league is built upon sort of some, in essence, it's a blood loyalty from birth, virtually. And if you attach yourself to a set of colours, a jersey, a logo, a mascot, a player, a team of players, a location.
Yeah, it reflects, it's kind of like, it's the modern version of being, you know, like a feudal lord, isn't it?
Yes,
you know, it's your birthright.
We're mere serfs.
Yeah, you know, you're entitled to work for that master, to serve that cause, to serve that purpose.
Yes.
And, you know, for many, many people, that's brought a lot of heartache over the years.
Even when the master breaks your heart many, many times over.
Continuously.
Even if they move the boundaries, location, the colours even, you're still bound by the idea that Cronulla is in Cronulla.
Yes. Or if you're a St. George Illawarra fan, Cronulla is in St. George.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Illawarra is in St. George.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is the Tigers? I don't know. We'll talk about that later. So anyway, the idea is that those that are vulnerable are starting to arc up and fight back. Barry O'Farrell's come forward. And the prime finger pointing has always been at Cronulla. Joined in 1967. We won't go into the backstory. They're Johnny come lately, let's call them that.
Yep.
Not quite as the Titans, but nearly. So you've got to look at the youngsters to go out the door first if they're looking financially in trouble. How shaky are the foundations of Cronulla?
They're enormously shaky. I mean, I've got to, you know, it's interesting when you describe that, you've got some sort of conspiracy theory that Cronulla were introduced to weaken the St. George dominance that had bored the rugby league public
for 11 straight years,
for more than a decade. And I get a picture of sort of like Cronulla being created like as a nation state artificially, and it sort of takes me to the Middle East.
Like Israel, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. And we all know how well that's going.
Yeah. Look at Pakistan and India and bloody Kashmir and
Bangladesh,
all this. Yeah,
for
Bangladesh,
example.
God's sake.
Pakistan.
It never works out. It's going to end in tears.
Those who do not learn the lessons of history, Stephen, are condemned to repeat them.
And you've been down to Tom Ugly's Bridge. There's barbed wire, there's guards, there's fighting every weekend.
And there's also two bridges to get in, and I never know which one to choose.
Which one to choose.
It's so difficult. And so, Cronulla's had a checkered history at best, and let's face it, they finally won a premiership, which will be stripped from them any tick of the clock. So,
and is there a prettier sight than seeing Gal cry over that?
So they have been on foundations of sand or swamp.
The toxic swamp.
The toxic swamp.
Yeah, down in Cronulla. It was built on reclaimed land right next to, like, literally, the alligators don't go there. The sharks don't go there. It's that toxic. And they built a whole ground on it, and it's slowly sinking into this lime green quagmire.
How upsetting is it that local sharks do not go to that part of Botany Bay where the sharks are?
Well, they just turn upside down and die.
And do you remember when Endeavour Park had the power lines on the family hill?
Yes.
Which I think was not doing the local kiddies much good, running around kicking a footy while the sharks were plummeting another loss underneath power lines.
Look, to those film buffs out there, Chris, I'll go to that film Neighbours with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, all built on a toxic swamp.
Right.
There was radiation. The kiddies were going, like, growing a third ear. We all know about fish with three eyes.
Sure, of course.
That's what's happening down that way.
Right. So of course, the one thing that Cronulla had going for it was that it owned the toxic swamp.
Yes, it did. And it could, I guess, turn that into some sort of coin.
Yes.
How much coin did Buzz say?
$40 million.
$40 million for a toxic swamp. Who's going to buy that?
Well, apparently some developer has, and they started to build apartments on it.
Wow. I mean, in this modern age, Chris, you know, the way that we've, the marketing gurus have sort of looked at things, rather than sort of paint a picture which says, I don't know, Beauty Heights. You know, when you name these
Pleasant
buildings.
Valley.
Pleasant Valley, yeah. Exactly, all that sort of stuff. You know,
Enchanted Meadow.
They use things like, you know, taken out of Hollywood or, you know, Dallas or somewhere.
Camelot.
I reckon that there's a whole new twist these days. So actually calling it for what it is, you know, the Toxic Swamp Apartments, for example.
The Toxic Swamp Complex.
Complex.
Gated, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
in order to keep the residents
in. Yes.
Like a shire.
And then you name each building a separate building, you know.
Mangrove Mansions.
Mangrove Mansions. Hillbilly Heights. What do you reckon?
Guppy Gardens. Yeah, yeah. One of those little amphibious things that hop around.
Yeah, you know, Mutant Block, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I reckon that's a big seller. Now, of course, Gal would feature in this because you may have noticed recently that there was a little sort of memorial, a tribute done with Gal had passed the number of games played as a journeyman more than the famous E.T., Andrew Ettinghausen, and they had a little...
Are you sure that's not... Ettinghausen.
Ettinghausen, that's right. And they did a great portrait from the premiership winning moment when they're both grown men in tears on each other's shoulder.
Embraced in tears. And I mean, you mentioned about him passing ET's most game played. He's one game away from having played in the most losses in the history of rugby league.
Is that right?
And I think that's the way he's better remembered.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm surprised there's not a mural of Gal sort of slumped behind the goalpost after conceding yet another try.
Yes.
Interesting choice, ET. The really interesting thing, of course, is that ET's better known as a Fisher person than he is as a rugby league player.
Indeed.
Because let's face it, didn't win anything.
No, right? No.
And
a good-looking man, though.
Very handsome.
Very handsome.
Very handsome.
Man.
And it's got ET in a bit of hot water over the years.
It has indeed. But it got him a TV show.
That's true. It's a reasonable trade-off.
It's a double-edged sword.
Destroy
isn't it?
Friendships and lifelong relationships, but get a TV show. I'd do it.
I'd get out of here. Gotcha. Channel 9, Foxtel.
But of course, what I love is the press, because the press really gets to the essence of these moments.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the obvious question was asked to Andrew E.T. Ettinghausen, what fish would he like Paul Gallen to? He said a yellowfin tuna.
Yes.
Because
why?
They're hard
and
they keep going forever. Well, apparently that's not true because he's just retired.
He doesn't go on forever. I mean, he just said it 3 days before and made to look like a fool.
Gal is literally slapping E.T. in the face with a yellowfin tuna.
Yes.
Because Gal's yellowfin tuna is gutted, scaled and hanging up now because he's only got about a dozen games to go.
And a bit stinky.
Ooh.
A bit smelly. If you were a fish, Chris, what would you be?
I've always been a fan of the leather jacket stuff.
You're a big fish, though.
Yeah, I think a whale, maybe.
I think I
look good in leather, but there's a sort of a little horn that can get, you know, create a little bit of a sting occasionally.
You know, they say, think of an animal and everyone goes, oh, Black Panther or something. I'll go salmon. I like to swim upstream.
Salmon. What about a sunfish? That's my favourite fish. Love to see a sunfish one day out
that
in the
is.
Wild. That's that big, massive thing that occasionally yachts collide with.
Right, okay. Look, there's some facts here. There's a cash injection sure to help with stadium repairs. Shark relief. Shark relief, it says here. Scaffolding cranes were a constant at the ground and they looked to repair rush damage on the step. Well, it's not surprising when you get that radiation leakage going upwards into the foundations of the building.
Look, no one's actually been able to unpack the Buzz Rothfield numbers. I think it's an accounting trick, Stephen. But the one thing I do know is they're basically giving away the farm or the swamp in exchange for some sort of annuity income. My concern is what the sharks, with that cash injection, will put it into a savings account and not get a sufficient return on the money. I think we just need to stem the bleeding now. I was in Perth this week, Stephen.
That's where they're going?
And I got a close-up look at...
It's got a nice ring there, has it? The Perth Sharks.
Perth Sharks.
Perth Sharks,
you know, because the Great Whites are very famous over there.
Same colour.
Yeah, you'd rework the logo into a Great White because it's a fairly... I don't know, it looks like a bull shark or something in the current logo.
Is it?
Yeah. Maybe a Mako. But,
maybe a Mako.
I saw Optus Stadium
a
close
wobby.
Up. Yep, the dish liquor bowl. Yeah. It's got Cronulla written all over it.
Right. Now, another idea that's been put forward, which is very, very popular at the moment, is that we look at the proximity of some teams and how they should be dissolved, because essentially it's everybody outside of Sydney saying, Sydney, pack up your bags and just relieve us of a couple of teams, please.
Correct.
Now, your team did it. We did it. We merged.
Yeah, we suffered.
We're
we
happy.
Took the pain.
We're happy now, you know. Well, I'm thinking South and Eastern Suburbs.
Well, everyone says that the clubs under siege, apart from the Tigers and Cronulla, are Parramatta and Manly, but I think we've got to shore up those strongholds of rugby league.
Yes, yes.
I can't drive around Redfern or Bondi and work out which they belong to, because the colours are intermingled. There's people in South jerseys walking down Oxford Street. It's really confusing.
You ask any of those supporters, even they don't know where the boundaries are.
Yep.
And let's face it, the boundaries have shifted, and I say they've shifted by land value, home value. As soon as it goes over $1 million, you're in eastern suburbs.
Well, we're here otherwise, in Redfern. We're here in Redfern right now.
Well,
you
over a million.
You can't get anything for less than $1 million here.
Two, probably.
South Sydney is now the eastern suburbs.
Of course it is.
Right. So, and look, this Booker Feuds thing, it's overstated.
Yes.
And it's National Harmony Week, apparently.
Right.
What a perfect initiative to take South Sydney and eastern suburbs, rather than Sydney Roosters. Come on now. Put them together.
And really, they're just like two ugly brothers always fighting, aren't they? They're always going to fight.
We saw evidence last week of this again with Cody Walker calling out
taunting
Angus Crichton, and I guess at the same time Luke Keary. And you know what he called them?
A traitor.
He called them Roosters.
Oh, okay.
And Angus Crichton came back and says, I've been a Roosters fan all my life. No, he called them a traitor, Stephen. Yes. And you know who arced up?
Kronk.
Cooper Kronk of
Where's
all people.
Where's he from? He's a Queenslander, is he? He was playing in Melbourne. Now he's a Rooster hero.
And
come on.
And Cooper Kronk, as is his wont as an elder statesman of the game, said, show some respect, coach.
And he was disrespected, Chris. You cannot. If there's one word that the Melbourne players hate, is disrespect.
But you know what? Former host of this show, Brett Oaten, cut to the chase. And he actually, because he's a lip reader, I was sitting with Brett out there. It was almost a dissociative experience being at the cricket ground watching the football, Stephen, because you're so far away from the action. It's like you're looking through a pinhole or something. But he said that the Walker sledge on Kronk was this. You've won premierships in successive years. Your family is wonderful. And $1 million a year at Fox awaits you for 30 years, CPI adjusted.
Yes.
And Cooper was insulted by that because he says it's $2
million
a year.
It's $2 million a year. God love him. Okay, so we merged them together, Chris. I would put it out there on the text line, 0409-945-945. What would be the merged name? Now, we're talking land values here. What would you suggest?
Okay, it automatically occurs to me the Southeast Sydney Realtors.
SES.
Yeah.
It's simple, it's bold, it's clean. SES, Southeast
it's
Sydney.
It's descriptive.
Yes. Southeast Sydney Realtors.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the white shoe. That used to be the Queensland term, right? They don't wear them around
here.
They're developers there.
And I don't know how much scope there is for development in this. It's more like it's trading existing properties.
And that suggests a gender bias as well, which we don't buy into with rugby league now.
Realtors? Is that a gender?
No, white shoe brigade.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But I mean, let's face it, I mean, you want a logo or an icon that's feared plus revered and strikes fear and terror into the hearts of your opposition. And real estate agents just terrify people.
You know, the mythical beasts like the Minotaur, you know, or the Phoenix, the tiger with wings, etc. If you put a rabbit and a chook together, that's pretty scary. I mean, you've got the teeth of the rabbit, you've got the feathers of the chook, you've got some claws in there somewhere. I don't know. You can pat the damn thing.
I tell you what, though, it'd be sort of ecologically efficient. If you've got a chook run at home or a rabbit pen, they're interchangeable. You wouldn't have to build some new structure.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think there's opportunity here. But we need some suggestions, Stephen.
Can I say one?
Yes.
The bin chicken.
Oh, yes.
The ibis. The Southeast Sydney ibis.
this season, a new era of rugby league begins.
And no doubt Madge will have them fired up.
Blake's having a bit to say. He's fired up. Parramatta fired up. The blue and gold derby.
What is going on out there? The little bloke's firing up in round one.
Well, we're getting fired up because we seriously paid $5 for the usage of that trademark, that logo, the term fired up from Gaz many, many years ago. It was undesirable then. It was the two of the dirtiest words in the world, let alone rugby league. And these blokes are just thrown out willy-nilly without any concern for our well-being, Chris.
Did you use Brett Oaten to organise it?
What's he done?
I'm not sure he got sufficient patent protection trademark stuff in there, Stephen.
That was his job, for God's sake.
Because it's cavalier infringement. Yes. And I hate to see it, but I do actually, just as a quick aside, want to give props to the Fairfax Press for a little bit of clever word play apart from all fired up this, last round.
Tell us.
Dylan Brown, the new pivot for Parramatta,
yeah,
had a really great game. And the headline was, Dylan goes electric.
Dylan goes electric. The youngsters don't know what you're talking about, Chris.
I tell you what, though, if we were talking about traders before, it brings back the word Judas, doesn't it, Steve?
It certainly does. Now, look, talking fired up, gee whiz, I was pretty fired up last night, Chris. I didn't know where to direct my anger.
At what point?
Well, they call it the red mist, right? Yeah. When you lose your block, you know.
I thought in your case it would be the red and white mist.
Red and white mixed together. It was a pink mist last night. We're talking about... what's he doing to me? The producer Pat just threw this one in.
Redfern Pat.
Redfern.
He's cock a hoop.
Yeah, what a turncoat.
He did that little fire up compilation. Yeah. He thinks he owns the joint.
We give him a little bit.
I know.
We throw him a bone occasionally.
Well, it's a typical South East Sydney supporter, isn't
sure
it?
Sure is, yeah.
It's a typical. Yeah. Ibis.
Yeah, typical Ibis. Just face up to what the future looks like right now. You're a bin chicken, and there's nothing wrong with a bin chicken. They're an indigenous animal, and they're survivors just like Gal.
The Tarramurra Rugby League Football Club has been in contact, Stephen.
There's got to be a feeder comp.
They will hand across the rights.
Yes.
So you better grab those T-shirts off our Facebook page pretty quickly, otherwise
they'll be collector's items, won't they?
Pretty much like your Michael Jackson wallet, I guess.
Yes, indeed. Now, I'm just talking about this mist I felt last night. this is the essence of being a fan. You know, you start the year with hope. You start the first half at your own home ground with hope. Everybody's singing and the camaraderie. The little kiddies are happy. The old grannies are happy. Everyone's happy and you're winning. You're looking good with this new idea of rotating your players to try a fresh way to look at the attack and also confusing the opposition. And then it all crumbles and turns to shit.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Tarek Sims breaks the line and bombs a try early on. Yeah, and you think, here we go. Yeah, and then Cameron Murray for the Rabbits, soon to be the Ibises, splits you wide open. And you go, here we go. And then suddenly St. George Illawarra just lifted, Stephen.
Yes.
And you dominated.
Yes.
And you went to the Oranges full of energy, spark, vim and vigour.
Yeah.
And then you completely powdered in the second half.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to suggest to you, Chris, is that this absolute sort of, this pall of disappointment, I would call it the purple mist of disappointment. I took somebody last night to the game, Hello Anna, who doesn't know what rugby league is, doesn't really care.
But does she like Fire Up?
She loves Fire Up, of course. She cares about me and my happiness and well-being. But she got caught up in this rush of hope, this rush of excitement. People singing and going, yay, and funny comments and all that sort of stuff. And then the absolute abject sort of emptiness, walking back to the railway station, just pissed off, you know.
Stephen, I mean, this is probably outside your frame of reference because I know you fly straight and upright and all that sort of thing. But what you're describing there, the experience that Anna went through, almost sounds like some sort of narcotic experience.
Look,
rush of euphoria followed by a crushing come down as you head to the train station.
Look, it's a hit.
Yeah, right.
And let's face it, the hit will always end with a drop. And if you're a kiddie, you first get that when you get red cordial or Whiz Fizz. You know what I'm saying? Or Christmas gifts.
Or back if you can go far back, a Glug or a Raz or a Sunny Boy.
All that sort of stuff. And then as you get older, it merges into something like, I don't know, marijuana, a beer, maybe a gamble on Melbourne
Cup. Flutter.
And then it moves into meth, heroin, full-blown gambling, addictions.
It's a slippery slope, apparently.
It sure is.
It says you have a sherbet at the age of three.
Yeah.
The next thing, you're an ice addict.
You're an ice addict.
It's just a matter of time.
And in the middle, you're somehow attached to a rugby league team because, Chris, let's do the sums. How many people can win a comp out of 16 teams?
You have to give me a minute here.
Yeah, hang on, okay. Have a think.
Carry the two, divide by three, transpose the six, one team can win.
One team out of 16. So the other 15... Drop down losers.
So we're running at a sort of around a 6% chance. Yes. You know, everything else being equal. Let's face it, rugby league is the most equal game in the world.
Yeah.
Of winning the comp, yet the whole industry is geared to create an expectation and belief in you that you're going to win.
So you saw the ad, right? And I know it took us back to the grassroots of the sugarcane fields burning up in North Queensland and the Lakemba fruit shop owner, you know, all
Peking
that sort
duck
of
playing in the background because talk about a hit followed by a drop.
Walking around the beach if you're an Ibis fan, getting high-fived by the local Souths and Chook fans.
That's right. And every team is represented in these ads every year, Stephen, and they're represented in winning situations.
Winning situations.
The inference is your team is going to win the competition this year.
Everyone's revved up because it's an addiction process.
And we all buy into it. I mean, you think of all the investment that goes into merchandise now. Mm-hmm. You know, congratulations to Gordon Tallis, brand new kitty, 6 weeks old, wrapped in Titans swaddling clothes.
Wow.
You know, there's no chance to avoid this. And I mean, there are all these legislative changes. Apparently, you can no longer advertise smoking. I've only just caught up on that.
Yes.
Huge push to ban alcohol advertising. Yeah. No fast food ads during children's television. The NRL is on during kids' TV constantly.
You think they should be banning themselves?
Well, there's no chance of that.
No. So I would suggest that maybe we have a bit of reality into the advertising so that people really know what they're getting into. That would only be fair for the consumer. So let's go the real ad, the anti-ad, as opposed to the ad that you're going to win. What would be some of the lowlights of rugby league that would give you a fair view?
Right. So if you look at my history, Balmain, for example, you would see just a rapid collage of Benny hitting the crossbar in the 89 grand final repeatedly.
Benny Hill music?
Junior Pierce dropping the ball twice with the line open. Yeah. Mal Meninga Ackle tapping Michael Neal.
Yeah.
Bill Harrigan doing the running across the play ball. I mean, it would just go. It'd be like a recurrent nightmare.
So,
it would be honest.
I would say that as a fan, you remember the lowlights as much as the highlights.
What highlights?
We were just talked about Jamie Ainscoe and the head high that lost us the 99 grand final. Anthony Mundine.
Anthony dropping the ball
over the line.
That's right.
I would say Changer getting the needle in the groin and then wobbling around like a fool and losing the 75 grand final.
Changer was so nobbled. Yeah. The ball boys were running past him. And they
left him on.
I mean, this is actually what drives rugby league fans. It's on. This is what they recognise. This is how they exist.
John Sutton, has he done anything wrong?
Tears.
In tears, that's right.
But I mean,
66-0 loss to Warriors. I don't remember that, but my South fan does.
Redfern Pat does.
Sorry, my Ibis fan does.
And Redfern Pat, I mean, we'd have to take him back to 1987, the minor semi-final, Canberra versus Souths.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson, sorry, Lee, when we're talking narcotic references, but he terrorised Maven, who fluffed three Jackson kicks to take Canberra to a 16-0 lead in 15 minutes.
Wow.
Maven got hooked by Coach Piggins. Who hooks a winger? Do you want to know where he ended up? He showered and left the football stadium at halftime.
Yes.
And listened to the death throes of the 46-12 rout on the radio at home.
On his own.
Yeah. Now, that is a scene.
That's a scene.
Yeah.
Can somebody in advertising world put together this showreel for us?
And I think the most famous implosion in rugby league finals history was Parramatta's Paul Carriage, where Canterbury were down 18-2 with 11 minutes to go, and suddenly they found themselves level, and Carriage repeatedly kicked the ball back to the opposition.
And they lost.
And Peter Stirling had this to say.
Well, he's made some of the dumbest plays I've ever seen in a game of rugby league.
One of the dumbest plays ever.
And that should be our tagline for the ad, the anti-ad.
Wow.
Some of the dumbest plays you can ever see is go out and see your team, because 15 out of 16 obvious, you're going to lose.
And everywhere we go, we had 25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, are you fired up?
And his wife, he couldn't sleep. Her nerves were slightly off the beat. Until she saw her problem with a can of Ovaltine. She drank a cupful most every night, and ooh, how she would dream. Until something rough got in the stuff and made her neighbor scream. Ow! Who put the bands of dream in Mrs. Murphy's Ovaltine? She was ashamed, don't know who's to blame, 'cause the old lady didn't even get his name. Where did she get that stuff? Now she just can't get enough. It might have been the man, wasn't bad. Now Jack, that guy's a square. She never ever wants to go to sleep. She said that everything is solid all real. Now Mr. Murphy don't know what it's all about, cause she went and threw the old man out. Clout, who put Ben's a dream in Mrs. Murphy's oval team. Now she wants to swing the Highland Fling. Says that Ben's a dream's the thing that makes her spring. Ah, spring it now, Gibson. This is the second chorus, you know. Name of this chorus is called Who Put the Nemutals in Mr. Murphy's Overalls? I don't know. She bought a can of Ovaltine most every week or so, and she always kept an extra can on hand just in case that she'd run low. She never, never been so happy since she left old Ireland, till someone found her pantry, sure and tampered with her can. Wham! Who put the benzodrine in Mrs. Murphy's old tin? Sure was a shame, who's to blame, cause the old lady didn't even get his name. Where did she get that stuff? Now she just can't get enough. It might have been the man who wasn't fair. Now Jack, that guy's a square. She stays up nights making all the rounds. They say she lost about 69 pounds. Now Mr. Murphy claims she's getting awful thin, and all she says is give me some skin. Mop, who put the benzodrine in Mrs. Murphy's Ovaltine? Now she wants to swing the Highland Fling. She says the benzodrine's a thing that makes her spring. Ah, spring it now, Gibby.
After you made some comments on Fox last week about player behaviour, Wayne Bennett said you might have been overreacting, a few others might have been overreacting. What were your thoughts to that?
Wayne Bennett's irrelevant to me, mate. So the comments he makes.
Sticky.
He's come good. He's not irrelevant to the Ibis fans right now, because there'll be a very seamless transition. The South East Sydney Ibises will be coached by Supercoach Wayne Bennett in his 70th year next year. Because let's face it, he had a blueprint for dismantling the Dragons last night, Stephen, and they delivered in spades.
Okay, so...
Sticky's not sticky, by the way, at the moment. You know why?
Why?
Because he was absolutely saturated up there at Seabus Super Stadium.
Not sticky at all.
In the monsoonal rains at the Gold Coast.
How tough is Sticky? Oh. Sorry, how tough is Ricky?
Yeah, and wasn't he just sending a message to his boys? I'm with you, boys.
With you all the way.
All the way.
Yeah. Rain, hail, whatever. Hey, listen, we just got a text. I don't know who the name is. One of our viewers, our listeners. I couldn't give a rat's about the NRL. 2 minutes into fire up, and I'm thinking NRL is life, and life is NRL.
They can have that one for free, Stephen. Thank you very much for that text.
Thank you very much. Hey, look, something came in from Barry. Barry O'Farrell.
Ah, Bubba.
Yes, we're talking about. It says, you won't be surprised to hear me say that while I preside over this club, your club, the West Tigers, there will be no desire to take part in any form of relocation. He said, the only move I'm interested in is towards a premiership. Onwards and upwards, Barry.
But if you provide an $8 million carrot to take us up to Brisbane, you'd have to consider it, wouldn't you?
He's a businessman first.
Yeah, that's right. That's why he's been brought in. Business smarts. Yeah.
It's not living in the past. It's not sentiment. It's not emotion. It's business.
There was a little bit of deception at play last weekend out at Leichhardt Oval, Stephen, where the West Tigers did defeat Manly Warringah 20-6.
You were there.
I was there. It was Marina Go's last go-round, if I can use that expression, chair of the Mighty Tigers. Yeah. And it was business as usual.
How come we're all mighty? Mighty Dragons, Mighty Tigers, you can't all be mighty.
Well, that should be, and again, one of the campaigns, you know, so like the pathetic Raiders and the hapless Titans, and give them their true due. Yeah. The unlikely to succeed Sharks, sort of deal.
The most likely to merge South and East.
Now, Stephen, I know you're not really connected with public affairs, but there's a little matter of the state election on tomorrow.
Yes, indeed there is.
And coincidentally, the Tigers happen to play the following day out at Campbelltown, and that's when the O'Farrell regime will kick in. No colours, no cheerleaders, no music, no beverage, no fun.
No fun at all. But Barry's smarter than that, isn't he? Barry knows if he pulled the power in western suburbs or the inner west of Sydney and there was none of that happening, not good.
No.
Not good, Barry. Wouldn't bode well for the LNP party.
No, no, no. You just needed to clear as smooth a pathway for Gladys as possible.
That's right.
And with the assistance of the Daily Telegraph, from what I can see.
Yeah, a little bit of assistance from the Daily Telegraph. Thank you, Uncle Rupert.
The Tigers playing in gold and black last week, plus the Telegraph, improves Berejiklian's chances of re-election. Fact.
Fact. Fact, yes. So Barry was all, let's face it, there was Survivor. Was that played?
It was our version.
Yeah.
It was our version.
Were there cheer girls?
And cheer boys. There were cheerleaders, Stephen.
Cheerleaders in this modern time.
It really felt like a normal rugby league game. It will feel very, very different
next week.
This Sunday after the election, no matter what the result.
Okay, so were there mascots?
Yeah, there was a mascot.
Was there grog?
Yes, there was grog.
Were there lights?
There were lights as it was played at dusk.
Were there any entertainment? Any races?
There was at some point there was some guy sprinting in looked like a betting company sponsored shirt along the sideline, but I couldn't work out why.
Right.
I tell you what though, the little kiddies that played at halftime, they understood much better than the Tigers did in the first half the value of repeat sets.
Right.
You know, kicking into the dead goal.
I'm assuming a jumping castle on the hill for the kiddies.
Well, Stephen, from my vantage point, which is over in the grandstand, I couldn't
can't quite attest. See. You don't even look.
No, I try not to. In fact, when I'm there, I watch the entire game on a monitor.
Now, there's a certain sort of parallel, I would say, with you remember when Rome was about to fall? They were offering bread and circuses.
Yes.
Keep the punters happy.
Yes.
Barry
distract
to
them,
a T, right?
Build a new stadium.
Was Barry sitting up there in his sort of white sort of sheet and, you know, with a little green gala around his head, you know, saying, give them more, throw some bread, throw some money at the punters, you know?
He was exactly doing that. It was almost like you're at the chairperson's club.
Right.
Yeah.
And next week, though,
if we
assume that Murdoch gets his way,
yeah,
then it will all be dark and dim and gloomy.
It's just, you know, let's face it, Barry Wenham is the key architects of the lockout laws.
Right.
And he is going to use my club as a paradigm for the way that Sydney should be going forward. Right.
Can I just remind, how much did we, Deloitte, assess?
Didn't say it was $16 billion?
$16 billion he lost in revenue since lockout laws.
That really irritates me, Stephen.
It gets me a little bit too.
Yeah.
And Barry doesn't go around saying, hey, I did that.
Yeah, to think that rugby league could be used in this pernicious way
and
to manipulate people yet again in the same way it's manipulating fans into the misheld belief that they're actually going to succeed. It's upsetting. But people get confused, Stephen. I mean, Peter Beattie, Australian Rugby League Chair Commissioner.
He doesn't get confused.
Well, he does a little bit.
Does he? Has he had a knock to the head? Would Peter Fitzsimons go and look at him?
Yeah, I mean, he's off Twitter.
Yeah.
He and Gus
He's off Twitter. He's taking himself off Twitter.
He and Gus
hooked himself.
Because Beattie, of course, the Twitter feed, Laurie Nichols is God, which I think is a statement.
Okay. For those that don't know rugby league out there, I know there's a few, Laurie Nichols was this mythical figure, actually real, who was allowed, the only fan ever allowed to actually live on the side
Correct.
Of the ground when Balmain played.
Correct.
He used to wear a singlet.
Yes.
A Tiger singlet.
Rain, hail or shine.
Rain, hail or shine. Silver-haired bloke, nuggety bloke. He represented everything that was working class Balmain back in the day. He would have been on the docks back in the day.
He was a wool classer, I believe. Yeah. Lived up at Springfield, I think, in the Blue Mountains.
But he used to shadow box the whole time.
Not unlike Kane Evans in the Big Papi video.
Right. And he used to rev up the fans and rev up the team. He'd pat the boys on the back. He'd go to the dressing room. He had full access all areas. Right.
He was a combination between a totem and a shaman and a mascot.
Yes. And where is he now, Chris?
Dead.
Did you say dead?
Yeah.
Peter Beattie said what?
Well, I can tell you what
can we
Peter,
quote?
I can tell you exactly what Peter Beattie said after Laurie Nichols' has got a tweeted about the game day.
Yeah.
He said, good to see you all well, Laurie. Good win for West Tigers today. All the best. Hashtag NRL.
Oh, that's nice though, Chris.
Well,
I mean, maybe he does have some sort of spiritual connection.
He could be the John Edward of our time.
He could be too.
Or the Doris Stokes of our time.
I talk to dead people.
Yeah, it's like, I don't see gender, I don't see race, I don't see life or death.
Yeah.
And in some way,
that's
Laurie,
very Buddhist.
Yes. Laurie Nichols has always lived on in our hearts.
So
that's true. I was there, of course, at the merger meeting at Balmain Leagues Club in 99 where we made the decision to join the Western Suburbs Magpies. Thank God, as they're about to bail out the meth lab.
Thank God for that.
And Laurie was against the notion.
Was he?
And he bawled his eyes out on stage.
Oh, man.
But in the lead up to our first game as a joint venture out of Campbelltown against the Brisbane Broncos, he gave his official blessing to the merged joint venture and he promptly died. He never saw.
Is that all it took?
The West Tigers play as the West Tigers. Right. He left us at the right time.
Yeah.
And Peter Beattie, in doing this, has kept Laurie's spirit alive.
Yes, he has.
And to see him off Twitter is such a loss to the nation.
It is.
And we implore you, Peter, you've been a guest on this show.
Yes.
You've paid your penance. Please come back.
Yes.
Please rejoin the rugby league community.
Now, on the other side of politics, Darcy Byrne, part of the new amalgamations, thank you very much, the Liberal National Party of the Inner West Council, has been like a marriage broker, so to speak.
Well, you now, can merge, obviously. Hey, are you listening, Roosters and Rabbits?
I don't know. Bin chickens.
Yeah.
Bin chickens. It's got a nice... You could put all those red, green, blue, red,
beautiful,
white, all in one creature.
Yeah, just a what kaleidoscope.
Do you reckon? Kiddies would love it.
Oh, they'd love it.
So Darcy Byrne had seen the writing on the wall. The West Tigers were damn broke and they were going nowhere. And it was officially a merger. So it's a marriage that, you know, one half has to look after the other half.
That's right.
And Ashfield Magpies... just rolling in the dough, Richie Rich style.
Like Big Brother St. George looked after little brother Illawarra last year.
Little different, but yes.
No, so I don't think it's exactly
well,
the same.
Can I just say, Chris, when did Balmain start?
908.
When did West...
908.
There you go.
Yeah.
Similar. Yeah. Brothers, you know. Illawarra, 83 or something, 87, I don't know. Never won a premiership.
Wollongong was only established as a city in the
mid-60s,
wasn't it? Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, so Ashfield has come to the party and said, we'll bail you out again.
So they're going to build a new Tigers Leagues club on the Meth Lab site at Rozelle.
The Meth Lab is going?
Well, it's going.
Yeah.
It'll be replaced by... I actually don't think it'll be a West Tigers Leagues club. It'll be more like a clubhouse.
Right.
House.
House.
So I think you'll find about, 160 apartments?
Right.
Theatres.
Yep.
Boulangeries, fromageries.
Will there be a mural?
There'll be a mural of the Meth Lab. They'll get Banksy in to do
recreate
like
when they build new buildings now, they show old Sydney.
That's right.
How glorious did we used to look. And now look at us.
Historic photos.
We used to look really good.
Site, yeah.
And now we're building a shithouse building.
Yeah.
You know.
As you arrive at the clubhouse, which I think will occupy possibly half a floor of the tower.
Yes.
There'll be three busts
this
in the
This is on
foyer.
Victoria Road, the top
That's
of the hill.
That's correct. Yep. Correct. There'll be three busts. There'll be the bust of Keith Barnes.
Yes.
Wayne Jr. Pierce.
Yes.
Probably you'd have to throw in Tommy Radonikis. There'll be four busts.
Can we have one of Darcy?
There'll be Darcy
with Bennett. A magpie on one shoulder.
Correct.
And a tiger on the other shoulder.
And then the two logos on the back of the neck, like the current
the
Tigers
yes,
jersey.
Yes.
Darcy Byrne will sit in the pantheon of great West Tigers
and
characters.
Will there be any other statues we're thinking?
No, I think that covers it.
No.
Laurie. Shadow boxing.
Landing one
with two people with their arms around him, yeah. Peter Beattie one, and right. Kane Evans the other.
Right, now.
That's beautiful.
Now, we want, as you said, we want to keep some semblance of the Meth Lab.
Yes.
Show the history of
the proud recent history, the working
and,
class.
And what we've heard is that Banksy's been brought out.
Yes.
And he's going to, unbeknown to anybody when, he's going to do some artwork as well, just to really like lay the icing on the cake. Because really, it's hipsterville now, isn't it?
And you need to appeal to the hipsters, Stephen, to shore up our future and prevent relocation.
Yes. Chris, it's been a pleasure having you back. My purple mist of disappointment and addiction. I'm looking forward to a win next week.
All right,
now that
you understand that your basic future is losing, and can we just give a very quick shout out to the return to the major leagues of Matt Chechen?
Yes.
Apparently he is back because he's agreed to his partner and fiancé Brett's demand.
Okay, on one of the conditions of his return to the game after walking away at the end of last season came from his partner Brent, who wanted Chechen to stop dyeing his hair black. Brent was sick of cleaning up the hair dye in the bathroom, and given the unfair pressure on our whistleblowers, let's hope Chechen isn't as grey as Gandalf by the end of the season. Yes, good luck to you, and thanks very much, Brent, for getting him back on the field.
Rugby League is back.
We'll see you next week.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab,